Blog Talk Radio.
Site and get the warning out. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
All right, welcome to the program and thank you for joining us. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast. I am your host, Michael Boldea, and I welcome you. It's a gloomy day here in Wisconsin, but we will make the best of it. I do need to put out that this is not a live program. It is recorded, but it is recorded the same day as the program itself would have aired live, which is October the 3rd, 2019. So thank you for joining us. There's a lot to talk about. There's a lot to discuss. There's a lot to digest because no week goes by without a full news cycle. Contrary to some of your expectations, I will not be covering this whole impeachment nonsense because next week it'll be something else. It went from what, Ukraine to Australia, now China. China is the one that our government is colluding with to get dirt on a political opponent. Look, I think everyone knows, or at least assumes, that dirt or no dirt, chances are less than slim for Joe Biden to win the presidency of these United States in 2020. Bernie Sanders apparently had heart surgery yesterday, so none of the people running are spring chickens. And the ones that are spring chickens that are running are absolutely insane. They want communism, open borders, all that jazz that most average, normal, working taxpayers really don't want. But look, Joe Biden, what, this is his fourth or third time running for president. Admittedly, this is the most traction he's ever gotten as far as running for president. But that doesn't say much. The field is weak, to say the least. And not only is the field weak, this economy is strong. This president is keeping his promises. So just from an objective observer's opinion, even if there were not a odeur de corruption coming off of Senor Biden and his son, who apparently got paid really good money for doing absolutely nothing and not being qualified for the job that he was getting paid for, chances would still be very slim. Look, when you're in a debate and your teeth pop out and you're trying to wiggle them back in with your tongue, it kind of takes away from the aura of presidential, does it not? But that's not what we're going to be talking about. Again, the madness just continues. And if I were going to go into the whole Ukraine thing and why it's a non-starter, by the time next week rolls around, it'll be irrelevant because they'll move on to something else. They keep throwing, you know, everything against the wall, hoping something sticks. And to me, that's a sign of desperation. So what I will talk about, what I want to discuss, is what's been happening in the world other than politics. Because believe it or not, I know, it's hold on to your seats, clutch your pearls if you have them, but the world is still spinning, irregardless of politics. Things are still happening, irregardless of politics. So even though the news cycle has been consumed by the word impeachment, which, again, is not really an impeachment. It's just an impeachment inquiry, because if they did begin impeachment procedures, the other side would get a chance to talk. Right now, it's bloviation at its best. That's all it is. So, you know, don't lose sleep over it. I promise you I haven't. But there are other things going on other than politics. And one of the things that I wanted to talk about, and I promise you, look, I promise you that we are going to end on a positive note today. We are going to end on a note that might, just might, give you a shred of hope for the future. But first, let's talk reality. A pastor was beaten to death and robbed outside his church. So that happened in Iowa. The thing that I keep getting troubled over isn't that these things are happening, because they have been. It's where it's beginning to happen. Last week, a pastor's congregation in Oklahoma walked out and then left post-it notes on his window calling him a bigot for saying that homosexuality was a sin. Now a pastor is beaten to death and robbed outside of his church in Iowa. We're not talking gang-infested neighborhoods here. We're not talking blood and crip territory in L.A. We're not even talking Chicago. This is Iowa. So violence is becoming more prevalent in unexpected places. And this should be a concern, because if it's becoming more prevalent in unexpected places, then the real violence that is happening in major cities and in gang-infested places is just not being reported. It's one of those things, let's pretend it's not happening and maybe it won't. Because if a pastor can get beaten to death and robbed outside of his church in a place like Iowa, I guarantee you, a lot of people are dying and their deaths, no one's raising an alarm over their deaths in places like Chicago and Baltimore and places like Miami and places like Los Angeles and places like Detroit and other places, even here in Milwaukee. And the fact that we've become so cold, the fact that we've become so used to a certain segment of the population dying and really not even reporting on it anymore is troubling. It's not a good thing. But yeah, this happened. And then one thing that it's been eating away at me. It's been troubling me to no end. Not the fact that this pastor got beaten to death or that he got robbed, although that is very tragic and it's sad. It's heartbreaking. But the thing that's been troubling me is that we seem to not be able to walk and chew gum at the same time. We're so focused on one thing, and our view becomes so myopic, and it becomes so laser-focused that we lose sight of everything else that's going on around us. And I think that if we begin to trace back and look at certain events and then juxtapose them with things that went on that were hidden from public view or that didn't get a lot of press, you begin to realize that every time something happens that everybody is all flummoxed about, other things are being done in secret, out of sight, not reported, not pointed out. And usually it's legislation. Right now they're still working on the Equality Act legislation. They're trying to shove it through Congress and shove it through the Senate the best way they can. And I think that for the most part, this whole impeachment thing is a smokescreen for something that they're hoping they can do under the radar, something they're hoping they can do that goes largely unnoticed. I wouldn't be surprised if we hear about some sort of gun bill having been passed in the dead of night by the Congress. Something that was not debated on the floor, or something that was not advertised much, because this is the way they work. This is the way they apply their trade. And we should be smart enough to be able to look at what's happening, acknowledge it, but then look a little further, look a little deeper, dig a little to see if anything else is going on at the same time, simultaneously, that perhaps in the great scheme of things is more important than what we're being told to look at. One of the things that I noticed that is going on during the same time of everyone's mad about the impeachment thing, mad meaning crazy, is that the NEC Corporation is about to deploy body recognition systems by next year. The technology will be able to re-recognize people during a single visit to a venue, such as a stadium or an airport or a church, huh? Or, you know, a gun store. See, they use the most innocuous example. The technology will be able to recognize people during a single visit to a venue such as a stadium or an airport. Well, that makes perfect sense, doesn't it? But what will keep this technology from being able to re-recognize people after a single visit to, oh, I don't know, church? See, I've heard this for the longest time, because those of you that know, our ministry is largely prophetic, and there have been a lot of, I guess, prophetic voices. I use that in the loosest term. I use it in quotes, whatever you want. Over the past 25 odd years, that have been trying to pinpoint, if you will, what the mark of the beast is. Back in the 80s, it was having a social security number. They said, if you have a social security number, you've already taken the mark of the beast, and so that's it. Never more shall ye see the grace of God or behold him. Well, apparently it wasn't the social security number. After that, it was the driver's license. After that, it was credit cards. But finally, we're beginning to see how easy it would be to implement something that would not allow you to buy or sell anything, something that will be able to control your life to the utmost, because the moment you step out of your house, the system will recognize you. The system will identify you. It will identify who you are. It will then do a search. It will, and this will be instant because it's all computerized. It will know where you've been. It will know who you associate with. It will know what single venue you visited. It'll look through your credit history. It'll look through your purchasing algorithm. Do you realize that one of the reasons Amazon became the monster that it is as far as market share is because they gluttonously consumed people's purchase histories? They had all the aggregate data, and they could actually predict what you will buy within the next 2 months, 6 months, year, or so on. Because it begins to see a pattern. It begins to see that, hey, Mike buys trash bags every 6 weeks. Mike buys a certain kind of bread every 6 days. Mike buys a certain kind of cheese stick, because that's the ones his daughter prefers, every week or so. And so I get coupons in the mail now for the cheese sticks that my daughters prefer. I get coupons in the mail for the brand of trash bag I buy. And it's not like I'm seeking their promotions out. It's not like I'm seeking out these coupons. I do use a debit card. And somewhere the information is stored so meticulously that I'm getting coupon offers on the things that I purchase on a regular basis, even though I never went online and said, I buy this brand of cheese stick. My daughters prefer Dan and Kids yogurt over, what's the other one, Faggy or Faye or something. Really goofy Greek name. Didn't enter any of that in there. And yet somehow they know. So imagine this being taken to the next level. Imagine it being used against the citizen, being used against the population. The reason I'm getting into this, the reason I'm spending a little bit of time on it, is because we need to understand how close we are to everything that the Bible spoke about regarding the last days. Information is power. Algorithms are gathering information on you every moment of every day. Your keystrokes, your website visits, your purchases, everything. And it's getting more and more intrusive because they want more and more control. And now, apparently, we're deploying body recognition systems next year. And so, if you show up at some venue, wink, wink, one time, this system will have a memory of you. It will re-recognize you. All right, so you went to this place today. And they will correlate. You went to this place the day after. They will, this is, if you've never read 1984, because they made us read it in junior high, I didn't quite understand what it was. Animal Farm also didn't quite understand what it was. But now in hindsight, looking back on what you read in those books and seeing where we're headed, it's coming to life. We're living this time of absolute control. And the trick of it all is that they're still trying to convince you that you're the freest you've ever been. They're still trying to convince you that things like this are nothing to be concerned about. Well, what do you have to be afraid of? I mean, you know, you're not planning on doing anything bad, are you? Well, right now, apparently, we're getting to that point where thought is a crime. Where at least supposed thought. People are getting blacklisted, fired, their careers ended. Shunned by society. Because they sent a tweet out 10 years ago when they were a teenager. Or because their assertion was misconstrued as being insensitive to a certain minority group of a certain sexual persuasion. So if you don't think that the household of faith will eventually be silenced, you're focusing on one thing and not seeing everything else that's happening around you. If you don't think that they're coming for those who insist on standing for the gospel, then you really haven't been paying attention. So the article goes on and says, the new system will augment the Japanese company's facial identification system by allowing clients to detect individuals when their faces are partially or totally obscured. It uses the same underlying image-making technology as facial recognition. So wearing a mask will no longer be an option because it will recognize your body, your body type. Control. That's what it's about. That's what it's always been about. That and establishing a narrative for which any sort of sidestepping deviation is mercilessly punished because you're not allowed to fall out of lockstep with the predetermined narrative. even though the predetermined narrative seems to have a lot of holes in it, even though the predetermined narrative is proving itself downright deadly. So we talked about this whole transgenderism movement thing. A few programs back, I talked to you about parents who are giving their children hormone replacement, puberty blockers, just so some other hyena in their middle class neighborhood will call them brave and courageous for putting their son in a dress and painting his face. Well, now the Food and Drug Administration has documented thousands of deaths linked to the puberty blocking drugs now increasingly given to children who suffer from gender dysphoria or claim to be transgender. Let me repeat that in case you missed it, because I'm not seeing any outcry to ban puberty blockers. And it says, and this is a report by the Food and Drug Administration, that thousands of deaths are linked to the puberty-blocking drugs that are now given to children who claim to be transgender. Now, I'm not a defender of nor a champion of vaping, but remember there was 12, 6, 8 deaths that were connected to vaping because these kids went out and bought fake vape. I don't even know what that is, but apparently it was supposed to have THC in it, which is a derivative of marijuana. It was supposed to get them high, basically. And it messed up their lungs, and there was 6 or 12 deaths associated to it. The state of Minnesota made it illegal to sell vapes or vapers or whatever they're called, because 12 deaths were associated with vaping. Now, my question, and I'm very curious as to the answer, is when exactly is there going to be an outcry to ban and outlaw puberty blockers? Because these puberty blockers are not responsible just for 6 or 12 deaths. The Food and Drug Administration says that thousands of deaths are linked to puberty blocking drugs. So, which is it? Are we still, if it saves one life, then it's worth banning? Because that's the sentence they used, isn't it? When it comes to talk of banning guns, when it comes to talk of banning anything else, because we want a society that grows up in a bubble. What, London, England is banning the sale of knives. They have Surgeon General warnings on their knives now that you can cut yourself if you buy this. So this is proven. It is demonstrable. It has been documented, because they always like to use that word. Well, do you have any documentation? Yes, there is documentation. It has been documented. The Food and Drug Administration has documented thousands of deaths linked to the puberty-blocking drugs now increasingly given to children who suffer from gender dysphoria or claim to be transgender. So Minnesota and all the other states, California banned plastic straws because it would hurt the environment. When are we going to ban hormone blockers? When are we going to ban puberty-blocking drugs? Because now it has been documented that thousands of deaths have been linked to them. And what of the parents that continue to give their children puberty-blocking drugs? Should they be prosecuted for child endangerment? Because right now, knowing this, it's pretty much attempted murder, isn't it? If you read this study and you see that thousands of deaths have been linked to puberty-blocking drugs, and you continue to give your children these drugs just because they claim to be transgender or because you want to be seen as brave, shouldn't you be tried for child endangerment? I want to see the reaction of all these just insufferable parents who are willing to hand down a death sentence to their children just so they can fit in to the new normal. Between 2013 and June 2019, the FDA recorded 41,213 adverse events, including 6,379 deaths and 25,645 serious reactions in patients who took the hormone blocker known as Lupron, the same drug given to children who say their gender identity is not consistent with their biological sex. Now, if you were to take these numbers and, you know, go, ah, well, there's 330 million people in this country. The 6,000 deaths is nothing. Well, first of all, there's 330 million people. I'd say maybe a third of those are children. I'd say maybe 0.5%, maybe 0.5% of children, which would, I don't know, make it a couple million maybe, see themselves as not consistent with their biological sex. And of those, I don't know how many were given Lupron, because there are other drugs as well that, you know, stop puberty, stop the natural progression of the human body. So when you take into account the fact that this isn't talking about 6,379 deaths among, you know, 330 million persons spread, but rather a much smaller number, you realize that there's a lot of kids dying from this stuff. An inordinate amount of children, if you will. Just think about this. Between 2013 and 2019, 41,213 adverse events, including 6,379 deaths and 25,645 serious reactions. And this kind of lunacy, this kind of mental illness is just ramping up. I guarantee you that if they do a study 6 years from now of recorded adverse events between 2019 and, I don't know, 2025, that number is going to explode. 41,213 adverse events will seem like a drop in the bucket compared to what it's going to be 5 years from now. Because now every frumpy girl who didn't get invited to prom and has a kid and wants to live vicariously through them and be famous because they did something brave are going to be pumping their kids full of drugs trying to, you know, change their gender because it's not consistent with their biological sex. So I'm assuming that this number is likely going to quadruple within the next 5 years, at bare minimum. But hey, you know, vapors, they're in danger. And again, I think it's disgusting. I kind of understand a guy smoking a cigarette. Fine, you're a nicotine addict. You run the risk of getting lung disease and dying. But, you know, back in the old days, the Joe Camel commercials or the Marlboro men, but now you see a guy with a piece of plastic sticking it in his face and blowing out, I don't know, cherry-flavored smoke. You know, not so manly. But, you know, we have to keep you safe, even if it's from yourself. So you can't go buy that stuff anymore. But what about this? It's not 6 deaths. It's not 12. It's not even 120. 6,379 deaths have been recorded in patients who took the hormone blocker known as Lupron. And I guarantee you, kids, there's a lot more people vaping than there are kids taking Lupron. Because that's it's the only example I could think of where you see just the despondent irregularity in numbers. That's the thing that I'm trying to get through. That's the thing that we need to focus on here. Because I guarantee, I walk down the street and I see how many people vape. It's become very popular, apparently. They sell it in gas stations. Of all the vapers in the continental United States, a dozen, 12 people died, and it has been documented that they died due to vaping-related illness. 12 people. Juxtapose that with 6,379 who died because they were taking Lupron, a puberty-blocking drug. I guarantee you, I'm going to keep hammering this point home just so you could see the hypocrisy of the other side, just so you could understand it's not about freedom and it's not about equality. It's about an agenda. It's about stripping the nation of its morality. It's about being so disconnected from any sort of logic and reason that you stand there applauding men in chaps, simulating intercourse, walking down the street on parade floats, while you grasp your pearls because, oh, the big orange man said duty, or whatever he said, poop hole, whatever, when he was talking about those countries. How disconnected? I don't know how we can reconcile these two things. We applaud and we participate in overt acts of abomination. We take our children to see fully grown men in various stages of undress, doing reprehensible things. We take an autistic 12-year-old boy, dress him up like a little girl, make him strip in front of perverts for throwing money at him and calling him brave. And these are the same people calling the rest of the country immoral because they won't condemn someone like Donald Trump for saying a naughty word. It's the same kind of mental gymnastics. It's the same kind of disconnect. It's the same kind of perverse ideology that'll make them ban vaping because 12 people died of lung-related illness and be perfectly fine with 6,379 kids dying from taking Lupron because the only thing their obese mother ever watched was RuPaul's Drag Race. And every time that was on, wouldn't you like to put on a dress, Billy? Make mama proud. Make mama proud. Don't you want to be on TV? Don't you want people thinking mama's brave and courageous? You're killing your children. You are injecting them with poison that will kill them. It is now documented. Will there be an outcry? Will we see people marching in the streets with signs, ban hormone blockers? Guarantee you we won't. And so this is the math that we have to do. There are substantially less people on puberty-blocking drugs than people who vape in this country. Yet, vaping has been linked to 12 deaths and is now being outlawed. But hormone blockers have been linked to 6,379 deaths and not a peep to be heard about outlawing them. Let that sink in. Luprolide acetate, known as Lupron, is clinically approved for treatment of prostate cancer in men, endometriosis in women, and for a short period of time, precocious puberty. A condition in which children begin puberty at a significantly younger age than is considered normal. So this is what Lupron has been approved for. However, because, you know, parents are so forward-thinking and progressive and brave, and because Lily's mommy, who used to be Bobby, put him, her in a dress, and now she is going to be prom queen. We're going to do the same to our little Timmy. Lupron is also being used, and underline this, of course, please, without formal FDA approval, as a puberty blocker on the increasing number of children and adolescents who are being diagnosed in the U.S. and the U.K. with gender dysphoria. I'm going to pause here and say this. The reason so many kids are being diagnosed in the U.S. and in the U.K. with gender dysphoria and not so much in, oh, I don't know, Russia, Africa, you know, the places where you can actually go hungry once in a while, the places where you actually have to work for your food, the places where, you know, life's hard and you don't have time to sit there and make booger balls and think, hey, it'd be nice being a girl. And, you know, my mom would really like it because she would get invited to all the tea parties. Because, you know, having a brave child and a brave mother opens so many doors. You climb up the social ladder so quickly if you're just willing to pump your kid full of, Lupron and risk that he's one of the next round of 6,379 deaths. But, you know, you can't really make an omelet without breaking some eggs. And mommy deserves this. Mommy needs this. You know, she wasn't very popular in high school. And then she got married young. And then she had you, Timmy. But you know what? Mommy needs this, so please put on the dress. Let's go get you a prescription. Let's stop that pesky puberty. And then mommy's going to get invited to the high society where she's going to be called brave. You're killing your kids. Between deaths from Lupron and the 43% suicide rate among transgenders, 50 years from now, we're going to be celebrating the only one to survive transgenderism, apparently. The last survivor, sort of like the Holocaust survivors. The last survivor of transgenderism didn't kill himself, didn't die from Lupron. You deserve a medal. Society is diseased. Our culture is ill. But as I said in the beginning of the program, I will end on a happy note, I promise. Because I run across these things and they empty out my heart. If not for hugging my kids in the morning and having playtime in the evening where my youngest daughter learns new words every day, and now apparently she's learned hike. She says hike and then she throws a ball at my head. So it's beautiful. If not for those things that reinvigorate my heart, that bring joy into my life, I would be a very miserable individual because everything I'm reading, save a couple things, a couple bright spots, is just morbid and sad and dark. This week there were two bright spots. I'm like, there you go. And I guarantee you it's only a matter of time before it's made a mockery of, before it's derided, before it's laughed at. The first thing, because it's a video and it's been going around Facebook a lot, and you guys are probably going to see it or have seen it already. The brother of a man who was killed by a police officer in Texas, telling the officer that he forgives her and counsels her to come to Christ. And the judge giving her a Bible. She was sentenced to 10 years. Again, the 10 years some people are angry about, some people are happy about. What affected me was the fact that I would have a very difficult time knowing myself if I were put in the same position. I applaud this young man for what he did. I believe he's a better man than most for actually saying, I forgive you, and I want to give you a hug. That was heart-wrenching. And the other story we'll get to right after we finish with the Lupron documentation. Because, you know, documentation, very important. How come only we need documentation? People with mental illness can just say one day, I'm a girl, and his name's, I don't know, Rudy, and he's 47-year-old with a beer gut and a facial hair. You don't need documentation. Why, in the state of New York now, and I know if you haven't heard this, just, again, hold on to your seats. In the state of New York, you can now be fined up to $250,000 if A, you call someone an illegal alien, and B, if you misgender someone. Let that sink in. In the state of New York, you can be fined up to $250,000 if you misgender someone, meaning if a guy wearing a dress comes into the store and you call him sir rather than ma'am, and if you haven't seen the video, look for it on YouTube. It's the guy with the bulging veins in his neck yelling, it's ma'am, it's ma'am, when somebody in a store called him sir. It's cringeworthy. But you need to understand the kind of culture that you're living in. You need to understand the kind of society that you're living in, because it will help you prepare. So now if you misgender somebody in New York, or if you call them an illegal alien, which they might be, even if they are, if you call them an illegal alien, it's $250,000. Fine. So this is where we are now. When are they going to ban puberty blockers? Huh? When are they going to ban hormone blockers? Because this drug was never approved by the FDA to be used as a puberty blocker among children. It was for people with prostate cancer and for women with endometriosis. But hey, how else are we going to get invited to high society if we don't sacrifice the life of our beloved child and shoot him up with drugs that are very likely to kill him, or at least shorten his lifespan exponentially? So yes, Lupron is also being used without formal FDA approval as a puberty blocker on the increasing number of children and adolescents who are being diagnosed in the U.S. and the U.K. with gender dysphoria. Why aren't Indian kids more gender dysphoric? Huh? Why isn't there a big gender dysphoria movement in Bangladesh or in Pakistan or in Iran? Think about it. This is being done with the support of the American Academy of Pediatrics and the Endocrine Society. So much for, you know, the Hippocratic Oath. Huh. I just read an article where some ridiculous number of pills. A doctor got 40 years in prison for prescribing, I think it was 500,000 doses of Oxy. But see, we have this mindset that if somebody's wearing a white lab coat, they have your best interest at heart. You have to understand that the American Academy of Pediatrics and the Endocrine Society are supporting the murder of children via lethal doses of Lupron. It wasn't approved by the FDA, because I'm sure the FDA did its study and goes, this will kill them. Oh, that's okay, the American Society of Pediatrics said. Take our word for it, they'll be okie dokie. Despite the fact there's no evidence that such hormonal treatments actually benefit children and adolescents with gender dysphoria. No, it just makes them suicidal. But you know what? The old saying is, if you ain't got problems, better get yourself some. The American College of Pediatricians has compiled significant research on the effects of puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones on children. Complications related to the drug's use include malignant tumors, cardiovascular events, meaning heart attacks or blood clots, suicidal behavior, and other psychological disorders, brittle bones and painful joints, and sterility. But you know what I say? That's a small price to pay if some woman smelling of patchouli who hasn't bathed in a year tells you you're brave and gives you a hug. Huh? If you can get on 60 Minutes for 30 seconds, it's well worth saddling your kid with malignant tumors and heart attacks and blood clots and suicidal behavior and psychological disorders and painful joints and brittle bones and sterility. You got your 15 seconds. It's not 15 minutes anymore. 15 seconds of fame. Somebody called you brave. Well done, hip hip, bravo. Dr. Jane Orient, Executive Director of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, confirmed in email comments that while some of the deaths reported by FDA could have been patients who died of prostate cancer, the problem is that very little is known about the use of Lupron to treat healthy children deliberately to block normal maturation. Lupron is off-label for lack of long-term studies, she said, adding, it undoubtedly causes irreversible loss of fertility and many other adverse effects that are potentially lethal. It does not turn a male child into a female child, only into a eunuch who will lose his full potential for growth and strength. Children have no capacity to comprehend these long-term consequences, so the use of this drug in gender-confused children constitutes unethical experimentation. Informed consent is not possible. I'm taking a pause, pregnant though it might be, for that to sink in. Gender transitioning hormone treatments have been successful for pharmaceutical companies. In 2017, ABBVIE, or AbbVie, which produces Lupron, observed sales of the drug were $669 million just in the United States alone. Wow, $669 million. But the monthly cost of Lupron is $775. So for a 5-year pause, quote unquote, of one's maturation, it's about $27,000. I don't want to sound morbid here. Honestly, I'm too disgusted. But if you're looking for a future business opportunity, I'm thinking either a crematorium in California or maybe, you know, teenage-sized coffins is going to be steady business. And this is all because we want to play God. This is all because we think we know better than God. I haven't even gone through this whole article. We may revisit it next week because it's just horrendous. But yes, it'll cost you $27,000 to give your child tumors, malignant and otherwise, heart attack, blood clots, and suicidal thoughts. But hey, you know, what's $27,000 when some unknown person calls you brave one time? Now, I promised you a happy ending for today's program. I promised you something upbeat, and I have it. Today, Thursday, October the 3rd, is Bring Your Bible to School Day. That should put a smile on your face. Students throughout the United States will be celebrating the event known as Bring Your Bible to School Day on Thursday, October 3rd. The annual event, sponsored by Global Christian Ministry Focus on the Family, celebrates religious freedom in America and seeks to empower students to express their faith in God's Word in a respectful way. So maybe, perhaps, our children will be braver than us. Maybe, perhaps, our children will be more outspoken than us. Maybe, perhaps, our children will see the devastation we have brought by allowing darkness to gain a foothold. And they will actually fight it back. Maybe perhaps our children will be brave when we weren't. Maybe there is still hope to turn the tide. That's as happy as I can get. That's as optimistic as I can get. Because for every one of these stories where, you know, it gives you a reason to smile, there's perhaps 36 stories that make you cringe, that make you cry, that make you weep, that make you moan, and sometimes even make you vomit. But at least today was Bring Your Bible to School Day. And I'm hoping and praying that many, many, many children throughout this land actually did bring their Bibles to school. And not just bring their Bibles to school, but actually cracked it open and read a few verses from it. Thank you for joining us once again. As I promised, we didn't focus exclusively on politics because it's an ever-shifting target. But there are real consequences to the choices we make as a society. 6,400 deaths and change. All because we chose to play God. All because we said, we know better. And decided to pump our kids full of drugs that would inevitably kill them. Anyway, thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening. We will be with you next week, whether recorded or live. Until then, may God bless you. May God keep you. And Gino, if you've got anything, it's on you.
Yeah, I just want to invite folks that are listening. We're going to have a special meeting in Wisconsin Friday night, October 25th. We're bringing Christian leaders together from across our state that have been defending values of faith. And Michael will be speaking at this event. And we are standing up and getting remnant of God around Wisconsin to stand up against things that affect our faith, family, and our freedom. And the event will be at the Watertown Country Club Friday night, October 25th at 6:30 p.m. It's called Christian Leaders Coalition Meeting. Really what that means are Christian people that want to be proactive and stand up for the things of God in their state are coming together and hearing brothers speak that I feel will challenge us to be awake and be watchmen on the wall. If you're interested, you can email handofhelpoffice@AOL.com. Let us know. There's no cost other than there's a meal that you will have to pay for to attend. But it's our first really large meeting in our state of leaders. And it's pretty much everything Mike's been saying. You know, we have to get not only proactive, but stand up for the preborn, stand up for traditional family values. And Michael and a congressman and Pastor Ken and Marv Munyon will be speaking. Michael and Pastor Congressman Scott Allen will be the main speakers that night. Please try to let others come in the area, Wisconsin area, or if you're out of state, that'd be fine too. And hopefully you can take that fire back to your state and defend those values. Also, if you go to handyhelp.com, you can check out our books and our tapes and our schedule. We're going to be having a meeting November 2nd in Shipshewana, Indiana, and November 3rd, right nearby in Napanee, Indiana. And those meetings will be put on our schedule under Hand of Help schedule and meetings. And we just got wind that we were approved to do a meeting on Shipshewana. And then Michael and Daniel will be in California in October at Hear the Watchman Conference. Please check out, again, handofhope.com for our meetings as we try to blow the trumpet and warn people to be awake and to be watching in this hour and to really be, again, standing for what we stand for. God bless you. The program will be airing tonight from 6 to 7 Central Time, 7 to 8 Eastern Standard Time. Thank you so much. Thank you for listening to today's broadcast, The Light of Truth, with Michael Boldea. If you would like to order a copy of today's broadcast, please visit our website at handofhelp.com. If you have questions about our ministry, you can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com or simply call us at 920-206-9910. God bless you.